Welcome again, ladies and gentlemen, to Brewcur Online. I am Benjamin Orr. Joining me tonight, senior staff writer Lou Olson. The Brewers got out of a pretty bloody series with the Cardinals, which no series with the Cardinals is ever really that positive. They did not get swept, which is a silver lining. Currently, right now, they're playing the Reds. They're up 3-1 in the seventh. They have two more games against them, one tomorrow, one Sunday, and then they play the Cubs for a four-game series, and the Cardinals again for a three-game series, and that will end their homestand, and then they're on the road for three games against Atlanta, four for the Mets, and then their season's done. So hopefully they'll try to end on a high note there. Around the club, you know, there have been players like Gene Segura in particular and Carlos Gomez, you know, who were so hot, you know, before the All-Star break, and they've kind of crashed down a little bit towards earth, but, you know, they're still playing extremely well. I mean, there's still valuable parts of this team that, you know, heading into 2014 that they're going to be, you know, big factors. And before we get started as well, for those of you that don't know, last night, or actually Thursday night, because this will be coming out tomorrow, senior staff writer Colin Bennett officially announced that he'd be leaving the Brew to pursue his job working with a new station in Milwaukee, and
WTMJ4, all that is news in the Milwaukee area.
And we we really appreciated, you know, his time here, and Colin, if you listen to this, really we'd love to have you on the show again. Maybe a few guest articles here and there, and it's just, we're gonna miss you, but you know, Lou and I and Justin and Kurt, we all share the same sentiments. You know, we all want you to do well, wish you the best, and thanks again for your time.
I'm proud of you, pal. You know, I wish you nothing but the best. I'll miss you. There was a long stretch there, Colin, where it was just you and me, and I often refer to those as the good old days, and it'll be different not having you around, so I'll miss you, but I'll call you later.
Yeah, so, and if it wasn't for Colin, you know, we wouldn't have this podcast, because that's something he and I came up with, and I'm like, you know, if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't even be doing this right now, so.
And the world wouldn't get my amazing X-Files references, or it'd be a travesty.
We wouldn't hear about birds and airports.
Nope, we wouldn't hear such wonderful, amazing stories.
We would not. So, you know, as always, let's talk about these Brewers. I mean, there's obviously not a lot of expectations for the rest of the season, just finishing it out. But, you know, they always played well against the Reds at home in Miller Park. And, you know, they've always played well against the Cubs. So, I mean, they could definitely finish the season strong. They have tough games, obviously, with the Cardinals and the Braves. But, I mean, I think they can at least take 2 out of 4 against the Mets, probably 3 out of 4 against the Cubs. What are your expectations for the rest of the season, Lou?
Low. Is that correct? I don't feel like that's a pretty big answer.
Works.
My expectations are low. I mean, in August, I felt like they were taking steps in the right direction. I called them the August Brewers, and I loved the August Brewers, but I hate the September Brewers. They are just terrible. They are quitters. They are rollover and dyers. They are just a bad baseball team. They're about as good as the team was in May, but they're winning. They've already won almost as many games, so I guess they're not as bad. But, you know, when you have, in that Cardinals series, when you have two consecutive nights where you have pitchers taking no hitters into the sixth inning, and you lose by more than one run, I mean, things have gotten bad.
Yeah.
Things have gotten bad.
And the Cardinals in that series always seem to, like, score, you know, later in the game. Like, last night, I mean, the Brewers won, but it didn't, you know, end on a really clean note, as Henderson gave up that home run to, who was it, Matt Adams, I believe?
Yeah.
So, I mean, the Cardinals are always squeaking their way by to damage the Brewers in some way, shape, or form.
I know Cardinals fans are going to hate this, but doesn't anyone feel like Matt Adams should lose a pound or two? Matt Adams seems like... Like, Prince Fielder was a fat guy, and I'm not ashamed to say it, and I'm fully aware of it. Matt Adams looks like he is, like, about 60 pounds overweight. Has anyone else noticed that? Am I the only one who feels like that guy needs to get on a treadmill once in a while?
No, I've picked up on that.
Jeez.
You know, we talked a few weeks ago about the pancake eating contest between Caleb Gindle and,
yeah.
Michael Olmstead. I think a pancake eating contest between Caleb Gindel and Matt Adams would be pretty entertaining.
I think Matt Adams versus Prince Fielder in a hot dog eating contest, that's something you can sell tickets for. I mean, that's like the showdown of the century. Who cares about Joey Chestnut and Kobayashi? I want Matt Adams and I want Prince Fielder in the, I don't know what you'd call a hot dog UFC ring. The oblong? I don't know what you'd call it, but I want to see that. Because Matt Adams, he hit that home run, and I'm watching him run the bases, and I'm like, dude, you are an overweight baseball player. Like, I can't believe that at no point Mike Matheny's been like, hey, pal, how are things going at home? Eating your sorrow? What's up? Like, what's going on, Matt? I know all the Cardinals fans listening are just going to be at my throat, all zero of them. So, but anyway, Matt Adams is fat. I don't care who knows it. It's a fact.
Wait, are you implying that there's zero Cardinals fans or that zero Cardinals fans listen to our
podcast? Oh, no, there are Cardinals fans. Just zero Cardinals fans will listen to our podcast.
Yeah, we have that Slovenian guy or whoever that listens to the podcast.
That's right, the one guy from Slovenia. I forgot. I don't think he's a Cardinals fan, though. I think he's on our side.
He might be, unless he's a Reds fan.
It's hard to know. He's probably a Red Sox fan, like the rest of them.
That's even worse.
That is worse. It's way worse.
Yeah, I mean, I tend to agree, though, with you. I think the expectations, really, once August ended, were kind of low. I mean, the Brewers didn't have many after, really, May and just that disaster. I think they just kind of wanted to stay afloat, stay above the Cubs, you know, in the NL Central, not lose 100 games. And I think they'll do both of those things. But going down the stretch, it's going to be a little bit rough. I mean, I want to talk about one player in particular that has just really seemed to fall off. Is Willie Peralta. I mean, he's done okay.
Oh, man. Did you say Willie Peralta?
Yes.
I disagree. Willie Peralta threw no-hitter through 5 innings on Tuesday. I thought Willie Peralta looked electric. We just scored 0 runs in that game until the top of the 9th inning. Willie Peralta was awesome.
Willie Peralta, though, is inconsistent.
That's what happens with young pitchers.
Oh, I know. I'm not going to disagree. I mean,
when they called Greg Maddux up, Greg Maddux's first 2 seasons, he was pathetic. He was worse than Willie Peralta is. His record was for crap. His ERA was through the roof. Like, I think that Willie Peralta's in better shape than most guys at his stage of development. I think Willie Peralta's doing fine.
I'm not disagreeing with that.
I think you're attacking his character, Ben. I think that you're unjustly attacking a young man who's just trying to make his way in this world. I don't know what I'm talking about, Ben. I'm sorry. All of a sudden, I felt like I was on Fox News. I'm sorry. I don't know what happened.
We don't want to go there. We don't want to get politically charged here. CNN, Fox News, sorry. No way.
I got very worked up for no reason, and then I had nowhere to go with it, so I apologize.
Next week, we'll be doing a political show.
Have we not been doing a political show all this time?
Oh, wow, I didn't even realize that.
Secretly.
Vote for Darth Vader.
Vote for Darth Vader. Don't trust Krychek. See? What did I tell you? Never trust the Krychek.
You can't trust him. He's Russian.
Yeah, see?
Not to offend our Slovenian listener out there, because I don't know where Slovenia is in location to Russia. I'm sure it's close.
I assume that it's somewhere near Transylvania, but I don't actually
know. Does that actually exist?
Yeah, it's a real place.
Oh, okay.
It's in,
Pittsburgh?
No, it's... sure, Ben. It's in Pittsburgh. That whole mythos about vampires started in Pittsburgh.
I knew it. I'm not attacking Liperault. I'm not saying he's a bad pitcher, but he's been fairly inconsistent when he had a stretch of games where he did really well. From about the end of June till about mid-July, he was just on fire. And then he hit some rough patches, and I mean, fortunately, since then, he's only had about 3 to 4 really bad outings. And he's had some quality starts thrown in there. And obviously, this is an issue that's going to be ironed out come, you know, next season in 2015. But it's just not Willie Peralta that's been inconsistent. Gallardo has been up and down. He's looked really good as of late, but he's been awful as a whole this season. I guess I can say the same thing with Marco Estrada, although Estrada was hurt for a little bit, so it's not really fair. And Estrada's also been...
And now you're attacking another guy who threw a no-hitter through 5. Ben, you're attacking these men's moral fiber. You're ripping them down and and putting them up on a pedestal of poop.
Yes, that is my hidden agenda here, folks.
To these young pitchers and turn them into martyrs for a cause that you don't fully understand. What am I even talking about?
Oh, no. You've been talking to Korchak too much.
I have been. I don't know. I mean, it's hard for me to get all uppity on either of those two guys because of how they pitched in that Cardinals series. Anyone who can go out there and throw, like, quality starts against the Cardinals, I'm probably going to give more favor to freshly. Now, if they had just gone out and done this against the Rockies or the Pirates or the Cubs, I'd be like, meh. But doing it against the Cardinals, our arch nemesis, I feel like that's a step in the right direction for everybody. Thornburg, too. Tyler Thornburg looked great yesterday.
Thornburg should have been in this rotation when the season started.
Mm.
I really believe he should have.
That's debatable. He was really... I'm not... You know this. I don't put a ton of stock in spring training. I think that it's good for certain things, but really it serves no ultimate purpose. He was one where, in spring training, he was so bad that there was no other recourse but for him to go down. Like, he was just atrocious in spring training. Like, it wasn't like he, you know, had a few nice outings. Every time he went out there, he got absolutely shelled. So, I think next year, though, he'll be in there starting. I can't envision a scenario where he's not in the starting five next year.
If you had to pick a starting five for next year, what would your starting five be?
I hate that question already. Loesch, Peralta, Thornburg, Estrada, and I guess Helwig to start.
Where's Gallardo going?
Traded.
Yeah, I think I could see that. But
I think in the winter somebody's going to want to bulk up their... I, for some reason, see the Orioles wanting to bulk up that starting rotation, or the Red Sox. I feel, for some reason, like the AL East is going to be a landing spot for Ricky Weeks, too, and I don't really know why. I just feel like the AL East has maybe more prospects that I want or covet. And I also think that they have more... They're a very overrated division. I'm sure that you're aware of that as a man who follows the Yankees of New York. It's a very overrated division. I feel like it gets a lot of hype, but I feel like the reality is that there are so many holes in every roster. So I feel like Ricky Weeks and Yovani Gallardo will both end up somewhere else, even though, per Justin, he thinks that Ricky Weeks and Scooter are going to split time, and I just don't see that. They're not going to roll two second basemen. That just isn't going to happen. Somebody's got to go, and I in my heart of hearts cannot. And this isn't me. Justin, if you're listening to this, this isn't me just being biased towards a guy who I've always openly liked. I just don't see how at this point they could pick Ricky over Scooter. I just don't see it. I can't envision a scenario in which they sit down and look at them on paper and on video, like, look at their at-bats and go, yeah, we should stick with Ricky, this is the better option, because it isn't. But then again, if Rick Kranitz is making the decisions like he does, and if he's as good at coaching as he is at making decisions, then we're all doomed.
Stroll's in 10 minutes late.
Yeah. Jeff Suppan all of a sudden is just back, mysteriously.
You just see him in the corners. Like,
yeah, he just appears one day, and they're like, oh, Jeff, hello. Well, why don't you get out there and start? What? Oh, okay.
I could also see it being, like, a horror movie. Like, you see, like, I don't know, you see Chris Davis talking to Sean Holton, and, like, Sean Holton looks over, and he goes, I thought I just saw something. And Chris Davis is like, nah. And then you see Willy Peralta, you know, walking, you know, out of the bullpen after doing his bullpen session. Yovani Gallardo's with him. And Peralta sees the same thing, and Gallardo just starts cracking up because he knows exactly what's coming.
Yeah, it's Sean Holton, that guy. Boy, he is some sort of enigma, isn't he?
Yes, he is. How about that home run?
I don't know what to make of him. I feel like every time I feel like we've talked about him on the podcast, and I feel like on a national basis, people are like, "Oh, well, he's not an everyday player." But then every time they plug him in, he's driving in runs and coming up with big hits, and I just kind of go, are we sure that he's not a big league, an everyday starter? I feel like maybe it was you or somebody poo-pooed me the other day when I said maybe Sean Alton next year is the starting third baseman. I don't know. Maybe it wasn't you. I feel like somebody really was like, absolutely not. There's no way that happens. And it's like, maybe, though. Maybe there's something there. And we're just all kind of jaded because of how the season's gone.
Maybe it'd be a better option at third than Juan Francisco.
Yeah, my thoughts on him have sort of soured now. He just is getting worse and worse, it seems like. Like, when he first got here from Atlanta, he was working the count, and he was waiting for his pitch, and now he's just up there. Now he's up there uni-being, and he's just swinging. And him and Ricky Weeks and Uni Betancourt need to form some sort of therapy group where they don't swing at the first pitch at Anonymous. Like, stop swinging at the first pitch every time. Just stop it.
Stop having four pitch at-bats.
Please, please stop doing that. Nobody wants that.
Yeah, you know, talk about Ricky Weeks, though, which seemingly we always now do.
In my opinion, it's the only real roster concern that I have for next year is what do you do with that guy?
I know one team in particular that is interested in the second baseman, and that's the Los Angeles Dodgers. Because with, the only reason I know this is Jay-Z was talking about Cano. Since he's now Robinson Cano's agent, was saying, you know, he was looking into other teams and L.A. came up, and I'm thinking, well, if L.A. came up, that means they're in the market for a second baseman. And it's not that Mark Ellis is necessarily a bad second baseman, but if they're looking for maybe a power guy, then, you know, Cano's up that alley, Ricky Weeks could be up that alley. I mean, I don't know what the Dodgers have prospect-wise, but...
Not much anymore.
Yeah, well, yeah, considering they had a huge trade with Boston and...
And, yeah, they've made a lot of deals lately to add to their preposterous lineup. I would also, I don't want to ruin things or put, and I hate to, like, insert game updates into the podcast, but tonight the Brewers have scored 5 runs, and all 5 runs have been driven in by Carlos Gomez.
He started from, I'm not going to finish that.
He started from the bottom, now he's here?
Yeah.
Started from the bottom, now he's here. Great lyrics, by the way.
Now his whole team is here. It changes in the second second verse. Like, it's astounding how many baseball players actually have that as their song, and I'm just like, why? It's like that song, Radioactive. Radioactive. I just cannot stop hearing that song. It's everywhere I go.
I don't know what song that is even.
Oh, you'll know it because it's Radioactive by Imagine Dragons. It's literally everywhere. I know, it's like the stupidest band name I've ever heard of. But,
that's there a side point. There are lots of songs names they've been hearing.
But, that's a side point. You know, let's get into a segment we haven't done in a while, and that would be questions.
You can pick which ones. Let's tell everybody what happened. So, listen, if you listen to the podcast and we tweet out to send us your questions, and don't let the only person send us questions be Eric Kleiss from Puckett's Pond. We love Eric. He's one of my favorite people in the fan-sided universe. He's a wonderful podcaster. But if he's the only one who sends us questions, then you're guaranteed to have the weirdest question segment in the history of mankind. Don't let him manipulate the entire question segment. Don't let him monopolize the question segment. I love Eric, and I think his questions are terrific. But now you all have to be subjected to this. So you have the power, people. If you listen to this, you can send us questions at any point in time. You can tweet us. I'm at Lucifer Olson, and Ben is at that one MLB guy. You can tweet us. Just tweet us with questions. They'll get on the podcast. We're equal opportunity employers of questions.
Yes, we are. So,
all right, well, pick your favorites, and let's...
Well, I'm ignoring about 3 of these, so that leaves me 3 more.
That's understandable, because 3 of them are just preposterous.
He actually gave us one Brewers question, which, wow, you know, asking questions
which
about
is a
the
new,
Brewers
which
podcast.
Which is a new kind of record, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to start with this one, which Lou and I talked about this for a few minutes beforehand, and this really isn't even a question. It's just more of like a comment with a question mark. It's, the Packers suck? Yes. And to that, no,
I guess you answer a question with a question. Yes.
Yes. No. Maybe so. I don't know. Like,
yeah. I mean, kind of.
Well, I mean, it's hard to judge after 1 week, really.
But this isn't a football podcast.
No, it's not a football.
Next
podcast.
Question.
Next question. In Australia, is the floor on the ceiling?
I cannot speak to this directly, but I know what you're referencing in that their toilet flushes backwards. I mean, I have to assume that there are certain houses in Australia where the floor is the ceiling, and the ceiling is the floor because Australian people are weird. They're basically the offspring of British criminals who were too crazy to live in England, and then they were sent to Australia. So I have to assume that there are some people who, just through genetic inbreeding, are goofy enough to have upside-down houses.
Look at all the things Australia's given us, though. They've given us...
The boomerang, the koala bear, the Tasmanian devil,
kangaroo. Foster. They gave us the kangaroo, AC/DC, and something else. Steve Irwin. So we have those
to deal with. Rest in peace.
Yes, may he rest in peace.
Poor man. I always thought he'd go by Croc. I always thought he'd go by Crocodile, not by Stingray.
I think that would have been too
yeah,
obvious.
I don't know enough. I've never been to Australia. I'd like to go.
It wouldn't be bad. We should have a Brewing the Brew outing in Australia.
I feel like I'd rather go to... because that would serve no purpose. I remember when I lived in Seattle, there was a pitcher on the Mariners who was from Australia. His name was Ryan Roland Smith. Was it Brian Roland Smith?
Ryan.
He wasn't too bad of a player. Ryan Roland Smith.
Yeah.
And he was from Australia. He wasn't too bad of a pitcher. I don't know what ever happened to him. I'm sure he's floating around somewhere. He's in somebody's minor league system somewhere, but...
There's a pitcher for the Braves, I think, Peter Moylan. I think he's also Australian.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're getting better. They're starting to pick it up.
I'll ask this one this again isn't another Brewers question, but
you don't have to look for Brian Rollins.
The question that
go shoot.
The other question that Eric asked was
Ben.
Yes. The other question that he asked was, have you ever seen an angel? Have you ever seen an angle? What about an angled angel?
No, yes. And I have seen the show Touched by an Angel, and the skinny white woman who was an angel, I saw the angle of her nose. I feel like that probably counts, right?
She
had a very sharp, angular nose.
That could work. I mean, I've seen Christmas trees that have angels on them instead of a star, and they're tilted, so I mean, that's an angel at an angle.
I was going to say, yeah, I suppose that's an angel on an angle. So, yeah, I guess you have seen an angled angel.
Eat that geometry.
Take that. Semantics is more, I think, more appropriate on. The other question that I'm just going to address very briefly is he asked, what does the fox say? And if anyone doesn't know what that's in reference to, you should probably go and find that out because you're going to need that laugh. Maybe the greatest song of all time is a song called What Does the Fox Say? I would look it up right now. Turn us off, go listen to it, and then come back.
Yeah, please
good question, Eric, because no one knows. That's the beauty of that song. No one knows what the fox says. It could say anything. It could say whatever you want it to.
I'll have to look that up later.
Chris Davis with a K is better than Chris Davis with a C, although it's highly unlikely.
Well, that's
true. I don't know. Crazier things have happened.
That's already proven fact. The final question that Eric has for us is, the 2013 season was successful for the following Brewers, which has led to us to name them. Obviously, Carlos Gomez, Gene Segura, both All-Stars. Very productive years out of those two. Scooter, I would say Scooter has had a pretty good year. Chris Davis, for the most part, has. Pitching-wise, like I said, it's probably just laughable. Brian Kinsler is the only one that really comes to mind. That's really it for me.
I would I would say Jim Henderson. I'd say Jim Henderson belongs in that list. 25 saves for, you know, for a team that doesn't have a lot of save opportunities. I feel like Ryan Braun had a really good year.
Oh, yes.
Things really went his way.
Spectacular there from Ryan Braun.
No sarcasm, by the way.
I know. I was following up.
Yeah, it was good. Good, nothing but good stuff from that guy.
And Ron Renneke.
Yeah, I guess that's probably it. No, it was not a good year for Ron Renneke. Quite the opposite.
It was his best year. Hemming Kranitz.
Yeah, it was his best year. If by best you mean worst, then yes, you're correct.
All right, we're going to move into our next segment, What Was the Point of That? And I think What Was the Point of That, at least the question that I know Lou has for me, is going to evolve into an entirely different conversation as well. So, Lou, I know you have one for me. What is it this week?
This week's What Was the Point of That is brought to you by really, really, really stupid people. God, it even hurts me to say. On Wednesday, the Brewers were locked in a 1-1 tie in the bottom of the eighth inning. This was a game where Marco Estrada had a no-hitter going through, he threw five innings of no-hit baseball, then he finally gave up a hit in the sixth, but he only gave up one run in the bottom of the seventh. So it's a 1-1 game. Brandon Kinsler kind of messes up. He puts a few runners on base, and instead of trusting Kinsler, arguably your best bullpen pitcher, the most consistent bullpen piece you have, Ron Renneke opts to go with the lefty-lefty matchup that he loves oh so well and puts Mike Gonzalez in there. Now, for those of you who don't know, since the All-Star break, Mike Gonzalez has an ERA of 8 and has been an absolute recipe for disaster every time he set depths on the mound. To make a long story short, he gave up four runs. Well, technically they weren't all credited to him, but I credit them all to him. We lost 5-1. He gave up four runs in his short stint on the mound. Ben, in a 1-1 game in the bottom of the eighth with your best reliever on the mound, you put in Mike Gonzalez. What was the point of that?
Well, it's as you said, you know, Renneke, for whatever reason in his mind, thinks that matchups work. They do, but when the pitcher is competent enough to make it work. On paper, yeah, lefty-lefty matchup, that should work, that should get you out of the inning, and clearly it doesn't. Mike Gonzalez does not get you out of the inning. It's like every time I watch the guy go in, he gives up a run or two. You have Gorzolani to use. You have a whole slew of bullpen arms to use. That's what the 40-man roster is for. It's not like the Brewers are in a pennant race or even a wild card race. They're far out of contention. It doesn't matter who you bring in. The game is not going to matter. You know, it's not like, you know, it's game 7 of the NLCS against the Cardinals. It's a meaningless game for the Brewers where they can play spoiler. So, you know, for at least the sanity of the fans and the sanity of the rest of the team, I don't know why you put in Mike Gonzalez. There is no logical reason why Mike Gonzalez is even still on the roster, let alone out there pitching. I mean, literally, you have Michael Blazek, the new guy we got in the John Axford trade. You have Alfredo Figueroa. You have Rob Wooten. You have Jimmy Nelson. You have Johnny Helwig. You have Diamond Hand. You have all of these people you can use, and you use the one guy who absolutely stinks up the joint. Unacceptable. I just don't get it. Ron Renneke has it placed in his head that these matchups work. He tries to do it not only pitching-wise, but he tries to do it with batters. That's why we saw the first half of the month, or maybe at least the first 2 months, every pinch hit, Logan Schaefer. And Logan Schaefer didn't do jack. So I just don't get why Ron Renneke thinks this works. It doesn't. Yeah, statistically it might work out better, but we've seen this season it hasn't. So if it hasn't worked for you in the past, why is it going to start working for you now? Especially when the pitcher has no confidence.
The only thing, I think all this really means is, the only thing that Mike Gonzalez, there are two things that he should be doing for the Brewers right now. One is spray painting himself silver and standing outside in the parking lot before the game taking pictures as a robot. Or two, he should be strapping on a food services outfit and he should be selling me hot dogs during the fourth inning. those are the only two acceptable things that that man should be doing for this organization right now. If I see him go out onto the mound and there are other pitchers available, I have to assume that Ron Renicki has lost his mind and that senility has kicked in and he should be committed to a mental institution.
This
love affair with him is comparable to his love affair with Mark Kotze, his love affair with Logan Schaefer, his love affair with all the other lovable losers that he's tried to harness their power for good over the last 3 years with 0% success rate. It's just another case of him having a huge, pardon this word, but it's true, a huge boner for a player who doesn't deserve it. He doesn't really care for guys who he should like and is madly in love with guys who are terrible. And I just don't, my brain doesn't comprehend that, and it never will, and I don't know how his brain doesn't operate the same way mine does.
Like, we talked about it last week. We talked about this extensively last week. I think for the most part, it came out as a joke to some of the listeners. But I think we were serious, what in the world does Rick Kranitz do? You have to think he has to have some input on what Ron Renicki does. And for God's sakes, Mike Gonzalez does not work. He has an all season. He won't for the rest of the season. And thank God he's gone after the season is over. I mean, I know Gonzalez has said himself he is unhappy with his work this season. He wants to do better. Fine. Go with another team. We learned last year that bullpens like this fall apart because of one guy. That one guy can literally stink the entire place up and then everybody falls apart. We don't need that again. We need to rebuild the starting rotation, not rebuild the entire pitching staff again. And Mike Gonzalez is going to cause that. It's just, I don't know what Rick Kranitz is doing. He knows that, you know, we need to warm a reliever up. You have all these arms to choose from, yet you go with Gonzalez because he's a lefty? Come on, man. You're not playing for anything. Don't do these matchups because, you know, it makes you feel better about yourself as a manager. You need to get in Ron Mankey's face and tell him, hey, no, we can't put him in. He cannot pitch with runners on. They're all going to come in to score. We've seen that happen multiple times. And while that will get mainly credited to the pitcher before him, you know, Brandon Kinsler got tagged with 3 runs, but Mike Gonzalez only got 1 run, like you said, it's more or less that Gonzalez gave up all 4 and Brandon Kinsler just ran into some bad luck because Brandon Kinsler is an excellent reliever. Mike Gonzalez is not. He is terrible.
It's another example of, I mean, if Ron Renicki stays, that's fine, but Rick Kranitz has got to go. You can't just continue to let him do nothing and collect a paycheck. That's fine. You want to let Ron Renicki call the shots at the bullpen? Great. Don't pay a bullpen coach 7 figures to sit there with sunflower seeds shoved in his chaw and have no actual input or education into what he's supposed to be doing. I was always under the impression that Rich Kranitz was some sort of pitching guru. In the 3 years that he's been here, I haven't seen any of that. Nothing. Not a sniff, not a whim, nothing. I've seen nothing from that guy that leads me to believe that he's some sort of amazing pitching guru. He's just a guy who looks great in a windbreaker. I know lots of guys like that. My dad looks great in a windbreaker. Maybe he should be the Brewers pitching coach.
Like, I'm looking at the Brewers stats this season and where the pitchers rank, you know, ERA-wise. The bottom three, okay, Johnny Helwig is the last pitcher, but that's really unfair to him. He's only pitched in 5 games. The next two aren't even on the roster. Hiram Burgos and Mike Fiers. Guess who's fourth from the bottom? You got it, Mike Gonzalez.
Shocking.
Very shocking. It's just, like you said, what do they pay Kranitz to do? I mean, I understand Ron Renicki has to basically do everything as the manager. You know, he has to be in charge of things. But if Kranitz isn't going to have any input, we might as well just put a scarecrow in his place in the dugout, because that's about the work he does. Heck, I think a Scarecrow would be more productive than Rick Kranitz. It certainly
wouldn't be less productive.
That is true. So Rick Kranitz has to go, Mike Gonzalez has to go, and it's got me so fired up right now. It just really has.
Here's what bothers me about it. We brought Mike Gonzalez in, and this year we are paying him $2.25 million, so $2.25 million this season, and we would have been better off taking $2.25 million, soaking it in urine, and throwing it at homeless people. It would have been a better use of that money than to give it to Mike Gonzalez and his insanely pathetic I think his season ERA is like 4.5, which. Sure, it isn't terrible, but it's just like...
No, it's terrible. For a reliever, it's terrible.
I mean, for God's sakes, he's only pitched in 47 innings, and he's given up like 55, 60 hits. It's just like, that sort of stuff can't be happening when you're a left-handed, quote-unquote, specialist. Like, what are you specializing in? Being terrible? Because if you are, bravo.
Like, I literally think the Brewers signed him because, oh, hey, you know, he's a left-hander, let's sign him. No, that's why you signed Gorzolani, because Gorzolani can actually go out there and pitch, but I think he was unavailable due to, I think, the birth of a child or something. I say that like it's not even important.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, something about a kid, I wasn't paying attention.
Because I remember seeing Rob Wooten was talking to him, or somebody was talking to him on Twitter about it, and I'm like, oh, congratulations to Tom Gorzolani if you ever listen to this podcast on the birth of your child.
It's too late, Ben. You've already cut him so deep.
I apologize, Tom. Please forgive me. But, no, Gonzalez has got to go. He just has. He is everything that was wrong with the Brewers' bullpen last season. So, basically culminated into one guy. He's the Manny Parras in the God knows what else that we didn't want.
Yeah, he sucks. I won't miss him when he's gone.
You know, and transitioning from bullpen pitchers, there's one I want to talk about in particular, and one we don't know a whole heck of a lot about, and that would be Michael Blazek, the guy who we got in the John Axford trade. Now, Blazek's only pitched in 2 games with us. He's allowed 1 unearned run on 2 hits, 1 strikeout, hasn't walked anybody, and, you know, he pitched in a few games this season with the Cardinals, kind of had a few rough outings, spent more time in AAA. But going forward, I mean, is Blazek going to be a part of this bullpen next year?
I mean, I would assume so. I don't know. Now we're to a point where I feel like we have so many decent bullpen pitchers that it's kind of like, well, somebody's not going to make it. So, you know, maybe. I haven't seen enough of him, Ben. Like, I don't watch Cardinals games, so I didn't get to see anything about him. You know, I didn't get to see him work there. And in the 2 games that I've seen him here, I mean, he's serviceable. He's adequate. I mean, I like Rob Wooten more. I like Kinsler more. I like Figueroa more. I like Donovan Hand more. I like Kinsler more. I mean, there are lots of guys who I like more than I like former Cardinal guy.
Michael Blazek.
The Blazer, yeah. So, I mean, it does, I mean, his name is cool, and it makes for a sweet nickname that I might have just coined, although I'm sure he already has it, but the Blazer, you know, he might be something special, or he's just another guy, just another bullpen piece that'll just float around he'll bounce back and forth for the next 2-3 years, and we'll look back and be like, man, we should have kept John Axford.
There's one bullpen guy you didn't mention in particular, and you know, I kind of want to ask you about him now.
Is it Mike Gonzalez?
Yeah, because we certainly haven't talked about him today.
Right.
No, it's Burke Badenhop, who has really just... I don't know. I kind of forget he's there.
I'm indifferent on Badenhop.
I'm very indifferent on Badenhop, and I think he's very replaceable, and I think Blazek could be the guy to... replace him, but you know, the Brewers have options to use in the farm league as well. But I mean, for all intents and purposes, Badenhop's going to be gone after this season.
Good.
I think Gorzolani is the only guy who signed a 2-year deal.
So. Yeah, he is. I mean, I won't miss Badenhop. I don't really. Well, we traded for Badenhop. Like, we got him from the Rays. So, I mean, I won't miss him. So, don't care. Plus, yeah. his name is Burke. So, yeah, he's got that going against him.
So, Kyle Loesch is about to throw a complete game. I did not know that.
Oh, I hadn't looked in a while. Good for him.
Yeah. That'd be nice if he gets it. An injury update. Ramos Ramirez, surprise, surprise, left the game.
Oh, no. Did he get a boo-boo?
Left wrist contusion.
Oh. Somebody better give him kisses and get him a sucker and put a Band-Aid on it. What kind of Band-Aid do you want, Ramos? You want SpongeBob or Spider-Man?
We all know he's a Hello Kitty guy.
Good point, but that's not an option. I didn't give him Hello Kitty as an option. You can have Patrick from SpongeBob. Or you can have the Green Goblin from Spider-Man. Those are your two options. Pick one.
He doesn't actually get Spider-Man. He just gets the Green Goblin.
Well, yeah. Nobody gets Spider-Man. Those are special for the Doctor. I don't really care anymore. I'm done with Aramis Ramirez. This experiment was cute while it lasted, but let's call it what it is.
I mean, it was nice when he was healthy and we had Bronze bat in the lineup and Hart's bat in the lineup, but we don't have that anymore.
Yeah, so he doesn't really serve a purpose. And beside the fact that we way overpaid for him, even when he had value, we way overpaid for him. Yeah. We really reached on that one. I love that we backload all these deals so that these guys are, like, impossible to trade. Loesch is kind of the same thing. We're kind of stuck with Loesch for another 2 years because we backloaded these deals, and we'll never be able to trade Aramis, so we're going to have him around next year, too, because he's just not going to be tradable.
And people ask me, you know, they'll send me things, you know, to do, you know, a preview for them about the Brewers, and I'm like, okay, sure. And they'll ask me, you know, well, who are the Brewers targeting in the offseason? Who are they going after? And I'm like, nobody. I think Loesch was our big signing for the next couple of years.
Yeah, we're not going to get anybody else for a while.
This is a very small market team. I mean, Loesch, I think, is the highest paid player. Oh, no, I'm sorry, Ricky Weeks is the highest paid player.
Great. That's a smart investment.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Wait, Ricky Weeks is going to make the most money next year?
Oh, next year? I do not know. I did not check that for next
year.
Well,
that's what his contract is for next year, is $11 million.
I did not check that. But this year, Weeks makes the most. Did you know
that was
Jonathan Lucroy doesn't even make a million?
That's just disgusting.
For all the work and grit he puts forth,
I feel like Gene Segura probably doesn't make very much either. He's probably still on the little baby contract.
Yeah, he doesn't make $500,000.
They better work that out during the off season. They better get him signed up long term.
Well, they were talking about, you know, a possible extension with him, and his agent said it's a little too early to discuss extensions. And I'm like, but money, they're giving him money.
Right. I guess if I was a player, I would want more security, and I'd want to make more money in the short term, you know?
Exactly.
While you can.
Yeah, I think that adds
a lot. So, I don't know. Let's not make the same mistake we made with Prince Fielder and be like, oh, yeah, in a few years we'll negotiate, and then all of a sudden, oh, I switched agents to Satan's butler. I won't say his name, because if I say his name one more time, he'll appear, so...
I think
I've reached my limit in life of saying him. Yeah, I've reached my limit in life of saying his name. So if I say it one more time, he's going to show up and he's going to, like, move in and be like...
Oh, yeah, it's him, all right.
Yeah.
Oh,
you. Boy. Everyone should know who it is. It shouldn't be a surprise who Prince Fielder's agent is and why I can't say his name. But I remember every offseason we would come to him and make an offer, and he'd be like, oh, well, it's a little too soon. Let's give it another year or so, and we'll see it. And then every year, same song and dance, and we were too stupid to figure out that it was just a ploy.
So he's kind of like Voldemort. You can't say his name.
Yeah, I don't say his name anymore.
Or like Beetlejuice.
He's a bad man.
Wait, isn't he Loesch's agent?
Yeah, he is Loesch's agent.
I thought he was Loesch's agent, and I'm like, yeah. Oh man.
He's a bad man.
Hence why the contract was ridiculous.
Yeah. He's a bad man who's only out to screw small market teams and doom them for all of eternity.
You're a bad man, Charlie Brown.
It's not, for those of you listening, it isn't Charlie. His agent is not Charles Brown. That's not who his agent is.
It'd
it's
be
someone
cool.
much, much, Yeah, it would be kind of cool.
Loesch just got the complete game, so the Brewery wins 5-1 over the Reds.
There you go. Good. I don't want Dusty Baker having happy moments ever. So let's run them out of the playoff picture.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, I'd appreciate that.
I want to see the Pirates get in. I do. Who doesn't?
I do, but I also feel like that means... Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like them getting in signals like 10 more years of darkness for us.
It might.
Or, in my case, up until 2008, 25 years of darkness. Because I was born the year after we lost the World Series to the Cardinals, so they didn't make the playoffs my entire life until I was 25.
Wow.
Yes, so it could be worse, Ben.
Yeah, I have people that complain about their teams, you know, like... Especially, like, there are some Yankees fans, there are some Giants fans that are complaining, oh, you know, our teams are terrible. I'm like, okay, in the past...
Giants fans, I will flick them off directly into their face. You have won 2 World Series with the most pathetic offensive lineups I've ever seen in my life. You can blow it out your b-holes.
Like...
And Yankees fans... If I ever hear a Yankees fan complain, they deserve a good swift kick in the taint.
Yeah, because, you know, Giants fans are like, oh, you know, our team's terrible this year. You've won the World Series 2 times in the past 3 years. The Brewers have made the postseason, I believe, 3 times in their 40-year existence. So yeah. You have no room to talk.
So shut up. And Yankees fans, oh, I have 17 World Series trophies. Shut up.
It's actually 27, and I still think, yeah. Like, people that say, oh, you know, the Yankees are so terrible this year. I'm like,
shut up.
They're not. Like,
shut your mouth.
Exactly.
You have a $200 trillion, you have an unlimited payroll that you can throw to make your team better.
Same thing with Red Sox fans and Dodger fans and just...
Well, Dodgers fans, they've actually had a pretty long run now with futility. I mean, it's been a while since they've... consistently had winning teams, so I mean,
well,
Dodgers fans...
The fact that they're spendthrifts, though, I mean...
Well, I mean, now they are. They hadn't been up until recently. I mean, the Dodgers, I feel like their gripes are a little more warranted, but the other teams you list off, any Giants fan or Yankees fan who's complaining about, oh, the team, shut up. Go, just leave everybody else alone. Move up into the mountains with a goat where you can't bother anybody. Just leave us alone.
Oh, my. Yeah. So, Lou, is there anything you want to talk about tonight that we haven't touched on yet?
No. I don't think so. I mean, it was a really rough week this last week.
It was
not good.
We were talking a little about, I don't know.
There were tornadoes here where I live yesterday. That was interesting.
Unfortunately, you were not harmed. So
no, apparently no one was harmed. Just some tree, some debris, and some stuff. And it was mostly it got really big and nasty when it moved out over Lake Michigan. I saw a video this morning, and the two baby tornadoes. They have a name. I found out too when they're two. They're like, I think it's Sidewinder sisters or something like that. And they're two next to each other. They have, like, a name, I guess. And then they both merged into one super tornado, or as I was calling it, a carpnado.
Interesting.
Because in Lake Michigan, I don't think there are sharks, so I couldn't call it a sharknado.
And we don't want to go there anyway.
And there aren't trout, so I didn't want to call it a troutnado. Although I realize now that there's a player named Mike Trout and there's a player named Mike Carp. So now I feel stupid. I should have thought that joke through.
Real quick, what?
It's a carpnado. It's a tornado full of Mike Carps.
That's terrifying.
Red Sox. That's terrifying.
That's very terrifying. Real quick, what are your predictions for the Packers this week? They play the Redskins on Sunday.
Yeah, they'll win this weekend. I'm feeling like they're gonna win this weekend.
That should be a good game. They're playing at Lambeau. Rodgers is looking good.
if they don't win this weekend, then I predict that they will not make the playoffs or win the division. I think that they'll whiff it entirely.
What I thought was really crappy was Rodgers now has one interception on the year, and it wasn't even his fault because Finley, like, butterfingered the ball and the 49ers caught it. I'm like, oh, yeah, that,
Yeah, that sucks, but that's
Michael Finley, all
that's
right.
That's the risk of being an NFL quarterback, is those things are just going to happen. It happened to Eli Manning, I think, twice, where balls got tipped and then they got intercepted, so it happens.
Yeah, that'll happen to you if you're an NFL quarterback. So. All right, well, let's get into pitcher, hitter, and go to the league. I always get that mixed up.
Yeah, that's okay. Pitcher of the week, I'll say Thornburg, because he's the only one who got a win as a starter, I think, this week. I think the other wins were not from starters. Hitter of the week. How about Sean Halton, just because he'll probably never get another opportunity to have it. And go to the week, I mean, I think that's pretty obvious. I think Mike Gonzalez is the go to the week. Quite positive. Actually, you know what? How about just the bullpen?
Just the bullpen.
The bullpen this last week was worse than usual.
Well, Lou, you took all my picks as well. I had Thornburg as pitcher.
What if I won? Is it a new car? No, I'm just kidding.
Yes, you go outside right now and you'll be able to see it in your driveway.
You're a liar. I can see outside. I'm doing this from my living room. I can see outside. There's no car.
It's in your neighbor's driveway.
Oh, it looks just like my neighbor's car. That's weird.
Yeah, I know. I had this
home. Where are the keys? Is this one of those hot wire free cars?
It might. Don't ruin the surprise now. It might be. I can't give away my tricks. Thornburg has pitched well. I mean, he's always making that transition from relief to starting, and he does well with it each and every time out.
He's a better starter than he is a bullpen pitcher.
Most definitely. Which is why I see him in the starting rotation come 2014 at the start of it. Sean Halton, like you said, because he'll never get this honor ever again. He's had four multi-hit games in his last 10 games, so there's that going for him with a home run.
I feel like four multi-hit games, I feel like that was Ricky Weeks, like, season total. And Sean Halton has done it in 10 games. I will not apologize for that joke, Justin. I earned that joke.
And, yeah, Mike Gonzalez is the clear and obvious goat of the week, year, month, century. I don't know.
He's not the goat of the century. There are many more deserving people. And you can hear all about them on our continuing adventure into the Hall of Brewers We Won't Miss nominees. Up next is the nominee from our pal Kurt Hoog, followed by the picks from either Sean Anderson of the Hall of Very Good or the one, the only, Front Row Amy. If you don't know who Front Row Amy is, what are you doing here?
Yeah, why listen to this podcast still? Like,
yeah, why do you listen to this podcast if you've never heard of this wonderful, wonderful woman? She's so nice, and she's so charming.
Ow!
Oh, you alright?
Yeah, I just hit the wall. I'm good.
Were you looking at pictures of her? She is very attractive. I'll understand if you were looking at pictures and fell over or something. It's understandable.
And I moved my arm and hit the wall. I'm very close to the wall.
And I also discovered, I won't bring it up, but she posted a picture of her and her husband when they were in high school, and I did some math, and she looks, it's a compliment, she looks wonderful for her age. You would never guess her age. If you just looked at her, she's beautiful, beautiful lady.
And I will not guess her age because that is disrespectful.
Don't. It's terribly rude.
It's very disrespectful.
Just know that she looks just, she's so beautiful. And when you know her age, you just go, wow. You are a modern day Mona Lisa. Someone should paint her immediately. I'm still looking for one more guest person to do the Hall of Brewers We Won't Miss. So if anyone listening knows somebody who might be interested, submit a writing sample to my friend Ben, and he'll get it to you.
I will do that. So, also, Chris Davis, not our Chris Davis, but the Orioles Chris Davis, hit his 50th home run tonight, so there's that.
Hey, baseball history. And he's on my fantasy team. Ben, how did your fantasy baseball team do this year?
Finished in eighth.
That a boy.
Started from the bottom and I finished there.
Once I defeat Justin here over the weekend, I will be the last staff writer to be in contention to win. Even though Colin's gone, he still owes us Derek Turnbull baseball. You did address that with him, right?
You should probably talk to him. Well, I'll have to. I kind of forgot about that.
Yeah, honestly, there were more important things, obviously, but we'll have to address that with him, and especially if I win. I won't let him hear the end of it. I will go up to Milwaukee and get it in person. I want that Derek Turnbull ball.
Somehow I could see you doing that.
I would, because that to me is like in one of my fantasy football leagues, we have a Ryan Leaf signed mini helmet and a Ryan Leaf starting lineup action figure as our trophy.
They made Ryan Leaf action figures?
Yeah, dude, starting lineup, Ryan Leaf, 1993. Yep, pretty sweet. So it's still in the packaging, too. And then the mini helmet is awesome. It's a signed mini helmet from Ryan Leaf himself.
Very
so
cool.
I take these sorts of trophies very seriously. And I want that Derek Turnbull trophy in the worst way.
That's the grand prize. That's like the holy grail.
Of RTB Fantasy Baseball, it is.
So you got to pin on your Indiana Jones hat and...
Yeah.
Figure out how to get this.
Did I show you my Indiana Jones hat? Is that how you knew I had an adventurer's hat?
I didn't know you had one.
I have an adventurer's hat that I call my Indiana Jones hat. It's like a cool leather hat like that.
Which you're bringing it to next year's. So
I'll bring it to next year's reviewing the Brew Weekend. I'll wear my adventurer's hat one day.
Which, for those of you listening, you could be a part of our Reviewing the Brew outing next year if you wanted to be.
Once we set a date.
Yeah, once we set a date. There are multiple dates. We might go every weekend, but...
Yep, and this time we'll actually figure out the live podcasting and how to do that. So I think that would be amazing, but I think the logistics of it without them having some sort of internet connection was just too complicated this last time around.
Yeah, that was a bummer.
That was a bummer, but there was no internet, so it was impossible. This time we'll have to figure out some sort of recording software where we just bring a microphone and record it directly into the computer and then upload it later. This is all in-house stuff. Here's to listening to the podcast. You can go now.
Well, if you're still listening to the podcast, just wait 1 minute because we still are taking applications for Reviewing the Brew if you want to write with us. If you know somebody who wants to write about the Brewers, you know, we'll be glad to have you on board. And, yeah, I mean, we're awesome, right? I think so. Are we awesome?
I mean, I feel like if nothing else, you should join it so that you can be on this podcast and you can see what sort of weird rants I'm going to go on each week. So if nothing else, there's that to look forward to.
Yeah, you'll learn not to trust people. You'll learn a lot of things about life with Lou.
We will learn a lot of things.
We need to have a segment, Lessons with Lou.
Life Lessons with Lou. No.
I like it.
I feel like we should stick to baseball stuff. Maybe we could do a separate podcast. My wife and I had a podcast for a while. We might still again someday, but she started doing grad school, so we stopped doing it. But it was called Lou and Ashley Hate Stuff, and that was fun.
We should have a podcast.
Just a regular one for normal things.
And we could actually, you know, like, swear.
Yeah, that'd be nice, because for those of you who don't know, I really tamed down the swear words for this podcast.
Yes, he does.
I really toned them back, because I have a rich vocabulary of insults and swear words that I cannot use per fan-sided.
Lou, I like this idea. We should have a podcast that's about whatever.
It's not a bad idea. We know enough interesting people who, outside of a baseball setting, might be fun to talk to.
Yeah? So?
All right, well, you heard it here first.
Yes, you did, so...
Breaking balls with Lou and Ben.
Instead of breaking bad, we're breaking balls.
Yeah, breaking balls.
So, well, for those of you folks listening, I don't know how you're doing it, so thank you for that. Stay tuned next week as hopefully the world doesn't end. It might.
I'll give you my full review. My wife and I are going to the game on Sunday, but usually when I go to games with my wife, we are more focused on the food and drinks. So I'll be sure to give you a full rundown of what we ate, what we thought of it, and maybe I'll even talk about the game, but something tells me probably not.
Speaking of which, the food, that hot dog, that chili cheese hot dog we had.
Yes.
That was so good.
I am considering possibly having another one of those, or we will go and get one of those super fancy sausages that are over off of the third base side.
Like, when I literally ate that thing, I'm just like, Lou, this is the greatest thing I've ever had in my life.
It's, and then, you know what's interesting? I don't know if you have Sonic.
Yes, I've had Sonic.
In Ohio. But now Sonic has a chili cheese dog that's on a pretzel bun, and they sprinkle bacon on it. And I just went...
Yes, I've had that.
You've had it?
Yes.
Is it as awesome as it looks?
Very awesome. Because it was funny. Now we're really getting off topic of life.
But if I'm on the podcast, you have to assume that this is going to happen.
It was funny because after Friday night's game, Lou and I were driving. Well, Lou was driving. I wasn't driving. I was sitting in the passenger seat. And we were talking about Sonic. And Lou said how he's never seen a Sonic. He thinks they're myths. And I'm like, I think so too. But my buddy lives in this town that's next to a bigger town that has a Sonic. And we went to Sonic one day and... I had the hot dog with the cheese and the bacon and the pretzel bun, and it was literally the best thing I've ever had. They also have a ton of shakes. They have, and I also had this shake, peanut butter bacon shake, which is delicious.
Oh, I'm on board for that.
That is delicious. Then they also have a foot-long coney, which I did not have because I'm trying to not eat like that type of stuff, but... they had a chili cheese dog there as well, which was also really good. So I haven't had anything else at Sonic besides the hot dogs, but I recommend them. As soon as you find one, you have to say, I have to get this, so I recommend it tremendously.
I recently discovered that the closest Sonic to where I live is like 40 miles away. So I do know now that they exist. But, they advertise just crazy amounts of advertisements, and I just, for the life of me, can't figure out how they have such an amazing advertising budget. They can advertise in places where there isn't a restaurant within, like, 50 miles. How does that even work out? It's bad business sense.
Yeah, like, the closest one to me besides that one is, half across the state. I'm like, not doing that. So it's just, it's good food, but I don't know if it's worth, half a day, and, half a tank of gas to get.
Yeah. So, let's kill time for, here you go. This is what Eric was referencing. This is an actual song.
That's terrifying.
It's a whole song. They're trying to figure out what foxes say. That's what he was referencing earlier, by the way.
Who creates something like this?
I don't know, but it's actually really funny. So if you have a chance, Ben, you should really go watch it, because in the context of the actual song, it's actually very funny.
Is it on YouTube?
It's weird. Yeah, you find it on YouTube. It's... The name of the group is, they have I think it's pronounced Elvis, but it's spelled with a Y instead of an E. The song has like 25 million views now, or this music video does.
It's a music.
So it's Elvis, but with a Y.
Oh, I found it now. This, it looks foreign, like Swedish or...
It might be. I don't know if it is or not, but... Just when we hang up here and the podcast is over, go ahead and do yourself a favor, Ben, and give that a little listen. I promise you'll at least giggle a little bit because it's just very silly.
All right, I will do that. So what have we learned tonight? We've learned that Mike Gonzalez is a terrible pitcher, that Sonic is way too far away from us, and that Lou and I are probably going to be starting another podcast. So
I would say that's a pretty productive podcast for this week.
Yeah, so finally now we're ending it, because I know you people who are listening have probably gotten sick and tired of listening to Lou and I ramble about nothing. But hey, you had fun doing it, right? I had fun doing it.
May not have been our best podcast, but it's the best podcast we've done this week.
It is.
So take it at face value.
Don't take it to the bank, but take it at face value. So.
Right.
All right, thank you for listening, and as always, stay tuned for next week.